Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's Friday, and so it is time for Elder Affairs here on WADK. And with us today, we have Dr. Jonathan Saborin and Stephanie Saint-Laurent, his faithful assistant.
Hello, everyone out in Radio Land that listens to us once a month.
And we will wow you with fabulous information about everything foot, ankle, and knee down related.
Yeah,
and more. Good afternoon. And what are we going to be chatting about today?
All right, so this is just the start of spring. So what we'll talk about today is probably things people be doing out in the yard and the types of shoes you should wear. And if you get an injury, things you might consider to help yourself. So first of all, a lot of people will, especially as the months get warmer, people will go out in shoes which really aren't good for them in a lot of ways, not just support but also safety. Everyone's good until they're not good in the sense of an injury. So if you're getting
flip-flop.
Yeah, and you go out there and you're doing stuff and all of a sudden something happens and you're like, geez, I don't know what I was thinking when I wore flip-flops playing with this chainsaw. So it's
never happened in the 13 years that I've been with him. So
lawnmower.
Even I might not do that.
No, I don't. Yeah,
but a lawnmower.
Scary.
Lawnmower.
But,
okay.
Yeah, and these things do happen. Horrific injuries, and in fact, a lawnmower injury was one of the things we use as a way to interview prospective residents. We usually have about six topics, and we say, "What do you think you're smart about?" And they'll say trauma, and we'll show them a horrific injury of a lawnmower, and they have to work it up from the moment they walk in the emergency room to the last screw put in and even the skin graft. But that being said, really you should dedicate shoes specifically for your garden. I sometimes fall in the habit also of wearing my worst sneakers. I'll be like, oh, these sneakers are shot. I'll save them for the garden. You know, think about it. When you're gardening, the physicality of it in a lot of cases is probably more work that you're going to do on your feet than the whole entire week combined. So you're saving your sneakers for like walking through the house and making dinner. And then you're going to go out in the yard and actually do something where you need support. And you're wearing these old dogs that can barely, you know, stick to your feet. So try to buy something that's better specifically for gardening. You can do gardening clogs. There's buy some work boots. There's a lot of options in that. And the reason why you would use those things is because they're safer. Not only are they safer for, say, if you drop, you know, paving stone on them or another tool, they're also going to give you the support, protection, and keep you dry. Another thing that we have
a
problem.
I didn't think about dry. I suppose that's important.
Yeah, well, especially with people, you know, who may have neuropathy where they don't feel how wet their foot's getting and they're out there for a couple hours, then it could go on to something like trench foot, not just a fungal infection. Also, too, if your foot's wet, it's going to be more apt to rub inside the shoe, and then you would get a blister. Just yesterday, if I had a dime for every time someone said this, it was just a blister, and that just a blister turns into amputation. And the reason being is, and we talked about this before, blisters are a thermal burn. You rub two sticks together, what happens? They get hot. Well, if you're someone who doesn't feel very well, you don't feel that heat, but your body does. So that thermal injury goes deep. It's not just on the surface. And because of that, these are terrible wounds. It's not just like a water blister on the back of your heel when you're walking up from the beach. You feel that, you stop walking, or you get whatever you're wearing off. These people don't. So by the time they actually notice this blister, it's deep down and close to the bone oftentimes. And as the week goes on or the 2 weeks go on while they're contemplating calling me, that wound is just getting deeper and deeper and festering. So you want something that's dry. You want something that's supportive. And too bad if it's clunky. It's safer. Also, try to buy a shoe with a mid-rise on it, meaning you don't have to have a big, giant state trooper boot that goes up to your knee. You can have something that just goes above your ankle because you're walking on undulating surfaces. A lot of people most of the time are just walking on flat surfaces. So when you finally go out in the yard, those intrinsic muscles that stabilize your foot and ankle are really weak. So if you have a mid-rise boot on, it's going to stabilize your ankle and get you less apt to roll it. And then, you know, have to make a guest appearance in my office for surgery.
Now, you mentioned garden clogs, but they would not fall.
No, that's true. Well, the thing about
there
garden
is he could, for me as a gardener. Yeah. I like them because you can slip them off when you go in and out.
They're very handy. And I guess I would recommend them more if you have a day where you're going to be hunched over, weeding, putting in flowers, doing bulbs, things like that. But if you're doing the bulwark where you're out pushing a lawnmower, you're raking, you're cutting down branches, I'd go more with the boot. And that's probably the difference between the two if I was going to really get down to the nitty-gritty. Clogs, I think, are great if you're doing, like, the patio work and, you know, maybe even the hedges, pots and stuff. But if the other work where you're really walking across the yard 25 times, I think a boot's a better option.
Gardening. Or if you're digging.
Yard work. Yeah. Yeah. If you're digging. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, that's really important. We do see that often. People try to dig into the soil, and they'll really do a number on their foot. You can actually break these two little bones that are under your great toe called the sesamoids. They're the size of like a lima bean, and their job is to stabilize that great toe in the first ray of your foot. And people will crush those. It happens often. Yeah. Another thing, too, when you are in the garden, don't lay on top of your feet. Like some people, I can't. Are able to completely bend their knees and sit on top of the back of their calves with their feet stretched out. Don't do that because a lot of times the nerves get pinched, especially the nerves in the feet. We'll see that a lot. There's a nerve called the deep peroneal nerve that goes right over the top of your foot, right along the high arch of your foot, and that'll become injured. Do yourself a favor. If you know you're going to be in one spot for a while, grab a bucket. They have those little wheelie things that you can sit on, and you can it's just low enough where you can hunch over and get to what you're going to, but you're also protecting your foot and ankle, and especially those nerves. As you get older, you know, when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you don't really care, but as time goes on, a lot of those structures in the body just don't stretch like they used to. And when you force them to do that, especially for long periods of time, because you're concentrating on the job at hand, you really end up having a problem the day later. You're incapacitated. You get such a tendonitis. So that's an important thing.
And a lot of gardeners are seniors because it tends to be the time in life when you have the time to garden.
Yeah, and you see the beauty in things where you didn't notice before when you were younger and too busy. At least that's how I'm looking at it.
You just grab somebody's flowers as you're walking
by. Walking by after you come out of O'Brien's, yeah.
Right.
These look good. But one thing I wanted to bring up, a lot of people will get cuts and they may not take into account that there's bacteria in that soil, and tetanus is one of them. And I don't know how people are in general as far as getting tetanus shots, or is it more one of those things where you step on a nail and all of a sudden you've got it. But tetanus is in the soil. There's a lot of other things in the soil besides microbes and nematodes, little worms and stuff that can get into your skin and body. So you have to be cognizant of that. If you do get a cut, treat it accordingly. Don't, wipe it on your pants and be like, okay, I'm good. Actually go in the house and take care of it, soap and water, and then an antibiotic cream and a bandage. And if you haven't had a tetanus shot, make sure next time you follow up with your primary, you should get one. There are videos.
2 years, right?
Yeah, not very long, very long. And, you can go online and watch videos of people suffering from tetanus. It's not good. Scary.
This is the scary show today.
Listen, I'm just being quiet because, he's doing his own thing, and I'm just letting him go with it.
But if you do, so I guess from a simple boo-boo to a traumatic injury, if, God forbid, you did get in that position where you really hurt yourself. We talked about that lawnmower injury. Always have your phone with you. Phones are easy to carry. They're nearby. If, God forbid, something terrible happened where you had an injury like that, you're not going to be able to walk. You may not be able to get a hold of anyone. Everyone's self-absorbed. My kids, when they get in the car, to get them to look up or to see anything, you have to almost beat them. They're just, everyone's in their own little world. So thinking like you can call for help and someone's going to hop out and help, don't expect it. Have your phone. It's so easy to do, it's just the safest thing. You should always have a phone.
Another thing is we've had a lot of calls lately where patients will say like, oh, I injured myself, or, do you think I should come in? And I'm like, oh yeah, well come on. And if you are calling a doctor's office and they say, come in, oh, well maybe I'll wait. And then they wait and they come in 2 weeks later because it's really gone bad, yeah. which we've seen lately. Somebody will call and they'll say, well, I did this, but, you know, maybe I'll wait. And I'll say, well, we can get you in today. No, maybe I'll wait and see. Well, put me out for a couple of weeks. I can't get out of work, da-da-da. And then when they do come in, it's catastrophic. We've seen it. So if you are calling a doctor's office and it's something that you injured yourself or you cut yourself and you look like it's infected, come to go see your doctor right away.
Yeah, we're happy to see you. People will say, geez, I hate to bother you. It's like, I hate to break it to you. This is how I pay for my kids' school. Come on in. Yeah, the more the merrier. I'm happy to see you.
Or it could be too late. Like we had a patient that hemmed and hawed about coming in, and then when it came in and it was too late.
Yeah.
So come in right away. I know it's inconvenient for you to leave work, and I know it's inconvenient. Or even call your primary if you can't get in with us, which we'll get you right in. But
amputations happen.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
You would be surprised how many people have had something horrible, horrible happen to them.
Watch those garden cups.
Watch the gardens. Wear the shoes, either the clogs or one of those little stool things.
And think about how you sit.
Yeah, and the sneakers for the mid boots for the yard. As far as shoes for this time of year, I mean, Easter's coming up and people want to wear their ballet flats, things like that. Just short term.
Wear them at your church and then take them off.
Yeah, that's it. Because they have no support. And, you know, people will sometimes wear them a lot longer. They'll go to a brunch. They'll do this or that. And the next day, they might end up with something as significant as plantar fasciitis or even a stress fracture. Stress fractures, you'll know the next day if you have one, your foot will be mildly swollen and it will really hurt. And if you push up near the toes, there'll be one area in particular just before the toes, which will really hurt. Stress fractures will go away on their own. They're an overuse injury. So say if you did go to a brunch and you were in ballet flats all day long and you normally don't, and then all of a sudden the next day you wake up and your foot's swollen, that's what probably happened. So
are you better off in a high heel?
No, I short, everything in moderation, right? So if you got to go to an event, definitely, you know, wear the shoes you'd like to wear, but don't stay in them all day long.
I have friends who, to be fashionable for, like, their children's weddings, well, they numb, to put the shoe, to wear a shoe all day for the wedding that they know bothers them, they numb their feet.
No. Wow, that's wild.
Absolutely.
Now,
not heard of that yet.
No, that's insane.
I'm in heels right now, but they're naturalizers. Not that high.
At that point, you should join the barefoot mafia. You see those at the weddings, and there were these women with their beautiful feet dangling under the tables because their shoes don't fit.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't wear it. Very rarely will I wear something.
It's not worth it.
Like Biofreeze.
Really? That's wild. Biofreeze
in there. See, I got something you haven't even heard of. Wow, that's wild. They probably would never admit it to you. No, that's
why. Sadist. Wow, that's wild.
I just hate that. I don't like heels.
Well, I don't know. I got to make a living, so go for it.
No.
What can I tell you? That's wild.
Well, let's get back to general summer footwear, though.
All right.
I mean, people want to wear sandals.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
are there some sandals
better
than others?
We've spoken in the past. You innately should be able to tell whether it's good or not for you. If you see one of those, you know, gladiator kind of flat strap flap of leather with a couple strings on it, obviously that's not going to do anything for you. There's different brands. You could easily go online and say what's, you know, a supportive sandal. And they have some that are fairly fashion forward. Brands like Clark or OrthoFit. I'm seeing a lot of bums.
This is not a paid sponsorship by any of these companies.
We know that.
But those will be brands that will give you some support on those days. Also, too, there's brands, again, like Clark or Mephisto or Rockport, those are usually fashion forward for ladies. They're a little better than some other brands, which may be a little more clunky and look like an old meme shoe or something. You know? So
we want that balance between fashion and
support.
Function.
Yeah. You'll have a much better day, you know, if you're not in pain.
For sure.
You know, mimosas help, but it's not all that.
So general, summer, what other kind of summer?
I guess sneakers. All right. Again, we've talked ad nauseum about sneakers, but it's important to remember roughly every 6 months, if you're wearing them regularly, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. They're probably getting ready to get changed out. Don't overpay for sneakers. There's a big thing now going on everyone getting orthotics. There's a particular company in the state that's on TV a lot, and they are pushing out ridiculously overpriced inserts, and not even orthotics. An orthotic is something that's made for you custom and will hold your foot in such a pattern that you'll walk in a different way. It's to correct a deformity. Inserts are just padding, which will offload areas of the foot which are under pressure. So there's a product by a certain company where you can stand on it and pay $55, and it'll give you some rubber under, say, your forefoot, or more. A number 8 will give you more rubber on your heel. It's a ripoff. Do not pay that kind of money. If you're going to blow that kind of money, buy some sneaks, and sneakers shouldn't cost more than $100. You can go online to the specific sneaker companies. All the big brands, all the big runners have their own websites. They have their own kind of mill store, and you can pick up sneakers that would sell somewhere else for $130 for about 60 to 80. I have never spent more than $80 for a pair of sneakers.
Yes.
It's insane. That's people true. Come in and say, I just spent $150, and then the guy sold me another $400 worth of rubber. My head explodes.
Yeah, that really happened.
All the time.
Well, speaking of shoes and shoe mm-hmm. stores and things, I mean, the days of when you went in and they measured your foot.
Yeah.
And I had, I actually had orthotics when I was in high school because I rolled in.
Yeah.
And I had plastic pieces that they had designed for me, and they did stop.
That's rolling. What they do, yeah.
Right. But I also used to have a shoe guy up in Fall River who measured your foot.
Yeah.
And told me I should be in a way longer, narrow shoe because I was making my foot go like this, holding the shoe.
Oh, yeah, no.
But you can't even find narrow shoes anymore.
There are some shoe stores around. Unfortunately, they're few and far between. There's one in Warren. There's one up in Johnston. And they're very good. But what I tell people often, especially with sneakers, almost all sneakers have an inner sole that you can take out. And you should be able to have one finger width between the longest toe on your foot and the longest end of the inner sole. And you should also, when you stand on it, you should still be able to see some of that inner sole outside of your foot. You shouldn't be muffin topping your sneakers.
As opposed to the old trying to pinch the top of the shoe.
Yeah, take it right out. Yeah. Almost all the, especially the runners, they all slide out and you can stand. And I do that with patients. They'll come in and they'll be like, I don't know, my shoe's fine. And I'll look at their foot and I'll look at their shoe. I'm like, you're kidding. So I'll literally take the inner sole out and I go, all right, let's go through this. And they'll be like, which one's bigger? They're like, my foot. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
Of course, women do not want to go up a shoe size.
Yeah, but you know,
this guy had me in an 11, but I didn't care. It's my foot wasn't any bigger.
I hear that too. And I'm like, if a guy's looking at your feet, he's a weirdo. So don't even worry about it. Who cares? What do you care?
Other than him.
He might look at your feet for other reasons. But yeah, you walk in a room and a guy's walking at your foot. Look out. That's someone. Walk the other way. Right, Stephanie?
I literally just turned my head for a minute and you're talking about what now?
Feet.
We're discussing how women don't want shoes that are a bigger size.
That's true.
And it's one of those. It's only your feet.
Also, too, I will say, and again, I'm not trying to push any business out there or whatever, but if you really want, because we have patients that will come in and want their feet measured. Measure my feet, Stephanie. Okay, fine. We could do that. Also, there's a place, I will say it, Darth Warren might not be happy, but Yorker Shoes. If you go to Yorker Shoes, you have a person that will measure your feet for you. They will tell you what is the best for your
foot. Well, they'll do it up in Warren, Savon, the old Jamiels.
Are they still around?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well.
There was a guy in Fall River was
John?
Called a proper fit.
Yeah, I don't think he's around. It's sad. A lot of these small companies that do help you with your foot deformities and can tell you what shoes are the best.
There's a guy
in
Portsmouth. Is it Alan?
Oh, Irving.
Irvings.
Yeah, they're
still. So he will. Yeah,
and
he'll
he will.
Check.
And look for the little companies that will still do that. And if you really want someone to measure your foot and look at what type of, like I always say, when people come in to get diabetic shoes, especially it's the ladies that want the fashion forward shoes, like Dr. Saborn said earlier. If you have a bunion or you have a foot deformity in your forefoot, a hammer toe or bunion, you're not going to want a shoe that has a leather upper. You're not going to want to have an all leather shoe because it's not going to move. There's no movement. It's not going to accommodate your foot. And then it's going to hurt. And the leather's going to stretch to accommodate your bunion. And it's going to be awful. So these people out there are trained to be able to do that, to look at your foot and say, oh, yes, you definitely should get this type of foot shoe gear. Or, you know, but don't go someplace that's going to upcharge you for something you don't need. And if it sounds fishy, it's probably fishy.
Yeah. And if it's anything, we heard of a lady, and then I actually brought it to some of my friends. I said, this patient just came in, and almost $2,000 she paid for a pair of sneakers and some other things. And my head literally exploded. And I went on, and I've got a little chat with some of my friends, and they heard the same thing. Anyone listening, do not spend that kind of money. I cannot think on any level that you would need to spend that kind of money on a shoe or an insert. It's insane.
There are ads I see online for shoes that, and they're not that kind of expensive, but they are designed, they have a wider toe box thing, so that they're to accommodate people with bunions.
Yes.
And they're nice looking or something. Well, that, you know, so you're not in, again, some.
There's different companies that do make shoes that are accommodative, but probably the best known is SAS or San Antonio Shoe Company, and they have all different styles. But they're famous for their tote boxes. But you can get a lot of shoes from a lot of major companies. You just got to look for the style. It doesn't have to be boxy. But if you're going to get a tapered toe, you can't have a wide foot. I mean, you can't put a square in a circle.
I have wide feet, and he likes Asics, and I like New Balance because New Balance accommodates my feet, and Asics accommodates Dr. Soborn's. Yeah, it's just that's how it is. You better calm down.
With those peasant feet. Grape stomping feet.
I'm sorry, they're Portuguese, and that's just my foot type. Be quiet over there, Mr. Your Feet. Gosh. So, I like New Balance, and I know New Balance goes up to a 6E, which is good for people that have, shark. We're going to have a war
foot,
later.
It's going to be a foot fight.
It's
going to be a foot
no,
fight.
But it's
similar
true.
To a food fight. But,
yeah. But yeah. I often tell people, they'll come in, and they'll have, a medium width, and you look at their foot, and I'm like, what world do you live in? And they didn't even realize it. It wasn't they were being, vain. It was just they didn't know. And when people listening hear this, listen, standard American width is a D width. It used to be considered wide. It is the standard American width now. And E is half a thumbnail thicker. A double E is a full thumbnail thicker. So when people are like, vain, and they're like, oh, I don't want to wear gunboats walking down the street. There's not a lot of room.
What about people with narrow feet?
There's very few.
You used to be able to find narrow.
Once in a blue moon, you'd see people with A feet, which, very few. There's some people with what I call narrow or medium, and that's a B, but it's more common that people have wide feet. There's some aristocrats around, but not
some
many.
Okay. It's an aristocratic trait.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay. Oh, well.
It's not us. Not you and I.
Whatever.
Not us.
All right. So for summer, get yourself some good
new
shoes
sneaks,
for the garden.
Especially the sneaks. Get some shoes for the garden. Yeah. And also, too, if you get cuts or something, especially in the garden with the soils. Oh, plus ticks. Take care of yourselves, especially as people get older. Your immune system is not as good. You heal slower, especially if you have vices and/or medical illnesses. You need to take care of yourself. Use the bacitracin, a little glaze here or there really helps. Also, vitamins. If you get a cut, vitamin C. Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery just recommended that all of us who do bone surgery need to tell our patients to take both vitamin D, calcium, and 1,000 milligrams of C. So anyone going for a knee surgery in the next couple of weeks or whatever, start taking your C because it's going to help your skin and
take
the collagen.
Eat your oranges.
Yeah, oranges if you're not
lemons.
Diabetic. But 1,000 milligrams, you can't overdose on C. You'll just have a more vibrant bathroom experience. That's about it. But other than that.
And where can we go for live help? Give us your locations and contact info again, because at Coastal Foot and Ankle, they pick up the phone.
Yeah, if you want to continue this conversation and come and actually visit us in person, which is always a comedy act, especially with our staff, We're 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the Middletown Commons Plaza. We're in the back of the building, though. Remember that, back of the building. And we also have a beautiful office in Fall River, 1822 North Main Street. And again, come and be a part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Be part of this wonderful stuff we have going on here, Dr. Warnock.
Care, caring, and comedy, all in one.
Two C's that we want to be known for.
But truly, people who do really care about their patients, talk to their patients, and do what's best.
We do.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month.